1991 marked the beginning of a series of peace efforts. Of the most recent and well-known were the negotiations that took place in the summer of 2000 at Camp David with then-President Bill Clinton, PLO Chairman Yasser Arafat, and former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak. The aftermath of their breakdown is perhaps the clearest example of the Israeli PR machine at work.
There are two pieces of this narrative that the Israeli propaganda machine has been very effective in convincing everybody of. The first is that what happened at Camp David was that Barak made the most generous offer that any Israeli ever had or would make. Arafat answered with violence.
The charismatic crusader for a Palestinian homeland has rejected what many thought was the best peace deal he could get, and he's failed to stop the terror.
In fact, 2 years ago, Ehud Barak did lay it all out on the table. A Palestinian homeland, giving back over 90% of Jewish settlements, even a plan which divided Jerusalem.
What was being offered to the Palestinians was an impossible deal that no Palestinian leader could possibly have accepted.
They proposed creating a Palestinian state in most of the West Bank and Gaza Strip. But this state was not going to have control over its borders. It was not going to have control over its airspace. It was not going to have control of the only resource, natural resource in that area, which were the major aquifers. And it was going to be bifurcated and crisscrossed by Israeli settlements and Israeli roads. So it was going to be broken up into at least four or five different pieces. It was a nominal Palestinian state within effectively a greater Israel.
It's as if the Palestinians have been put in the basement of their house, and they, you know, might be allowed most of the rooms, but Israel gets to control all of the hallways and some of the rooms. So you want to go from your living room to your bedroom, you got to go through an Israeli checkpoint. You want to go, you know, from your kitchen to your bathroom, you got to go through an Israeli checkpoint. Well, do you really control your house under that set of circumstances?
It did not offer Palestinians unimpeded access to their holy sites, and it did not offer Palestinians any solution to the 3 million Palestinian refugees who live in these refugee camps under horrendous conditions.
The occupation was not being dismembered. It was being made more efficient. It was being consolidated, where Israel would maintain its strategic interests, whether it be hilltops, whether it be water, whether it be different agricultural things that they had interests in. And the Palestinians would have what was left, basically. And if they wanted to call it a state, they could call it a state. If they wanted to print postage stamps, they could print postage stamps. If they wanted to have a national anthem, feel free.
The second myth that the Israeli PR machine was able to spin was that Arafat, having rejected the deal of a lifetime, then incited the Intifada out of spite.
The failure of these negotiations, which the United States supported, in which the Israelis made serious offers, that the Palestinians in leadership decided on a strategy of street fighting as a response.
When this latest round of violence broke out, if you look at the editorials that ran in the big American newspapers, they overwhelmingly said that the cause of the violence was Arafat's rejection of the Camp David Accord, and they blamed the Palestinians, and they sided with Israel.
This intifada had very little to do with Camp David, because on the ground, parallel to what the leaders were talking about, who had become so many talking heads as far as the average Palestinian was concerned, you had ongoing land expropriation, tree uprootings, road building. Settlements were being expanded at a quicker pace under Barak than they had been under Netanyahu. Unfair water allocation, by which many Palestinians in the summer and fall have approximately 2 hours of running water a week, when next door you can have a settlement with green lawns and a swimming pool. So what are people supposed to think? Rightly or wrongly, this said to people, this is not a peace process. And even if it is, by the time it's concluded, everything I have is going to be gone. It's going to be expropriated. So what's in it for me?
On September 28, 2000, Ariel Sharon, then Israel's defense minister, sparked the Palestinian Intifada with a provocative visit to a site in Jerusalem, holy to both Jews and Muslims. Surrounded by hundreds of riot police, Sharon strode onto the contested sacred site as a demonstration of Israel's control of the area. Sharon was met with protests from Palestinians who began hurling rocks at police and who then stormed the holy site. Israeli riot police fired tear gas and rubber bullets at the protesters. The rioting quickly spread to other parts of East Jerusalem and to Ramallah in the West Bank. Dozens, both Israelis and Palestinians, were injured. The Palestinian Intifada had begun.